What's up, people? Welcome back to Rebranded Safety. This week we're talking about reporting of injuries, diseases and dangerous occurrences regulations, otherwise known as RIDOR. As per usual in this law mini-series, we'll go over an overview of the regulations and then we'll go over the main bits that are most important for you to make sure you're compliant, safe and cost-effective. Let's get into the podcast.
Health and safety is almost a victim of its own success.
Weird and oppressive regime of health and safety regulations.
A huge fire engulfs a tower block in London.
Children being forced to wear goggles to play conkers at school.
Worst oil field disaster, 164 dead.
Rebranding Safety, the modern health and safety podcast, crushing the stereotype. Brought to you by Risk Fluent and your host, James McPherson. So welcome back then, this is episode 15 of Rebranded Safety, the last of the mini law series for now. I can't say that I'm not quite happy about that. It's been a pain in the ass trying to read out all those legal jargons and jargons and jargons? What's a jargon? Anyway, so it's the last of the mini law series. We're going to finish this week on RIDOR. Also, as I alluded to in the last podcast, we have our first guest, so confirmation all booked in, nailed down, sorted for next week's podcast, which will be Noise at Work, because yesterday it was World Hearing Day. It means a little bit more to me personally, because I'm actually hard of hearing. When I was a kid, we knew that I was deaf, because whenever I said a swear word, my mum used to wash my hands out with soap. Moving swiftly on then to RIDOR, reporting of injuries, diseases and dangerous occurrences regulations. So, brief overview. Personally, I quite like RIDOR. It's one of a few regs, in my opinion, that's actually quite prescriptive, quite clear and obvious. You know, there's not much grey in there whatsoever. In my opinion, you can't really get it wrong. There are a few bits that people like to debate about, but I think it's pretty obvious, if I'm honest, especially when you look at the HSE's guidance. I mean, the HSE's guidance gives a clear description of RIDOR. So the RIDOR is a law that requires employers and other people in control of work premises to report and keep records of work-related accidents which cause death, work-related accidents which cause certain serious injuries, otherwise known as reportable injuries, diagnosed cases of certain industrial diseases, and certain dangerous occurrences, basically incidents with the potential to cause harm. There are also special requirements for gas, which are quite prescriptive. There are requirements for diseases on offshore, which is literally so prescriptive you can't get it wrong. It's a list of diseases. So why do we have RIDOR? Well, you know, in short, it's the HSE and local authorities' way of seeing what you're doing. It's insight into you. It's a way to prioritise. It's a way to monitor. You know, it informs them of fatalities first and foremost, or near misses or dangerous occurrences that could have been fatalities, in which they will investigate or choose to investigate. But it also allows them to kind of like track you, pick and choose and prioritise who they visit, who they don't. So let's get on then to what you should know. So what must be reported? Not all accidents need to be reported. An accident is work-related and it results in an injury which is deemed as reportable within RIDOR. So in the eyes of RIDOR, it's work-related, which is where the confusion comes in sometimes and where the debate comes in, and results in an injury which is deemed as reportable. So what then is work related? So the HSE in their guide says the way work was organised, carried out, supervised, any machinery, plant, substances, equipment used for work, and the condition of the site premises where the accident happened. So basically your operation, so what you're doing, so how you organise, carry out or supervise the work, that is work, machinery, plant, substances, equipment used for work, that is work related, and the condition of the site premises and where the accident happened. So where some people get confused is if they own land and somebody tripped over the land that they own, for example, and then fell over and broke their arm, and it was a member of public and went straight to hospital, that's a riddle, which we'll go into in a minute. People will say, well, it's not work related because there was no one carrying out work. Yes, but it is, as landlord, it is your work to maintain that property. Therefore, it's work related. It is pretty clear, in my opinion. So then, let's get into the regulations then. Regulation 4 defines non-fatal injuries that should be reported. So these are specified injuries. And these include fracture other than fingers, thumbs and toes, head, shoulders, knees and toes, fingers, thumbs and toes, amputation of arm, hand, finger, thumb, leg, foot or toe, permanent loss of sight or reduction of sight, crush injuries leading to an internal organ damage, serious burns covering more than 10% of body or damaging eyes, respiratory system or other vital organs, scalpings, separation of skin from the head, my apologies, which require hospital treatment. I'm not sure of any scaldings or scalpings that are over more than 10% of your body that doesn't require hospital treatment. But anyway, if you don't require hospital treatment, you're either John Wick or you're dead. Moving swiftly on. Unconsciousness caused by head injury or asphyxia, any other injury arising, can't speak today, can't speak any week when I'm on this podcast, don't even know why I do a podcast. Any other injury arising from work in an enclosed space which leads to hypothermia, heat-induced illness, or requires resuscitation or admittance to a hospital for more than 24 hours. Then there's a little caveat of over 7 days injuries to workers. So this is where an employee or self-employed person is away from work or unable to perform their normal work duties, remember that bit, for more than 7 consecutive days, not counting the day of the incident. So I have an accident, I'm removed from my normal job, for example, because, I don't know, a piece of machinery hit my back and I've got a really bad back. That keeps me off the job for 7 days. Let's say I'm put into an office job, for example, for more than seven days. Not including the day of the incident, that means I am not performing my normal work duties, therefore it becomes a riddle, or I go home for 7 days, then it's a riddle. Again, pretty simple, as if you actually read it out correctly, which I did not, it is pretty simple. Regulation 5 then, so injuries to non-workers, work-related accidents involving members of public or people who are not at work must be reported if the person is injured and goes straight to hospital for treatment for that injury. Does not include if they're taken there as a precaution. Also, interesting note, if the accident occurred at an hospital, the report only needs to be made if the injury is a specified injury. Because if you're outside a hospital and you fall over and you nick yourself, you're going to go in the hospital, aren't you? So that's quite interesting, especially in my previous experience. So regulation 6 then is work-related fatalities. So basically a work-related death that's a result of an incident or an exposure, an occupational exposure, is reportable. So a bit more detail, work-related incident that results in a death a year after the incident, if the injury was reportable. Interestingly, it does not apply to a self-employed person who suffers a fatal accident or fatal exposure on premises controlled by that self-employed person. Let's read that again, shall we? Does not apply to a self-employed person who suffers a fatal accident or fatal exposure on the premises controlled by that self-employed person. So you own a building and you die doing work on that building and you're self-employed. That doesn't need to be reported. Obviously, you're not going to report it yourself anyway because you're dead. But yeah, that doesn't need reporting. I'd like to know why that went in there. Who thought of that? Was there a case study around that? Anybody knows? Hit me up on Twitter. At Rithruant, I'd be really interested to know why that one was in there. Regulation 7, dangerous occurrences then. So these are significant near misses essentially, and they are defined as a collapse or overturning or failure of load-bearing parts in lifts or lifting equipment, plant or equipment coming into contact with overhead power lines, explosions or fires causing work to be stopped for more than 24 hours. Again, dead simple. Regulation 8 then, where these are likely to have been caused or worsened than by the following are reportable carpal or worsened by work the work, basically. Sorry, getting my words all mumbled up again. They are reportable. So, carpal tunnel syndrome, severe cramp in hand or forearm, occupational dermatitis, hand-eye vibration. That's interesting. Hand-arm vibration syndrome, occupational asthma, tendinitis? I'm not even going to try and pronounce the next one. Tenosynovitis. They never named this stuff simple stuff, do they? Couldn't just call it arm pain, foot pain, nerve pain. So, tendinitis, there we go, and tenosynovitis of a hand or forearm. Somebody out there will know what that is. If you're not sure, just go on the HSE guidance. It's really, really clear, because this podcast is not clear. And any occupational cancer. So basically, occupational diseases, so your occupation or your undertaking causes any of those, it becomes, or worsens any of those, is a good point, then it becomes reportable. Let's move on from that one, because that was horrendous. Regulation 9, exposures to carcinogens, mutagens and biological agents. Basically, any disease attributed to an occupational exposure to a biological agent must be reported, in short. Again, HSE guidance is really, really clear. But if you're working with those type of things, I'm pretty sure you'll know. But any exposure to those, boom, it's a riddle. Diseases offshore. I mentioned it earlier, so Schedule 3 of the regulations, it's basically a list of diseases. Again, I'm going to assume there's not many people listening to the podcast that do work or manage or own offshore rigs. But if you do, there is a long list of diseases that have to be reported in Schedule 3 of RIDDOR. Believe me, it is really not hard to work out. Regulation 11 then. Reportable gas incidents. So this regulation 11 applies to anyone that distributes, fills, imports, supplies flammable gases and are then informed there has been a death or loss of consciousness or somebody is taken to hospital as a result of an incident in relation to the flammable gas that they distribute, filled, imported, supplied, that must be reported. Also, gas safe engineers must report appliances or fittings that they could consider could result in death, loss of consciousness or hospitalization. Could be due to design, installation, maintenance, servicing, modification, and they result in a leakage of gas, inadequate combustion of gas or inadequate removal of products of combustion. If you're a gas engineer, that will make complete sense. If you're safety professional working in that kind of area, it kind of makes sense. If you don't have anything to do with gas, you're a little bit like, that sounds nothing like what I thought gas meant. Hopefully. Anyway, moving on again. And this is going to be a real short podcast, which I think is quite good, because I think you're probably still hungover from the last one. I think the RRO one went on a little bit, like nearly 40 minutes. Was like nearly one of the longest ones we had. This one is so simple, in my opinion. RIDDOR is so simple that you're never going to need a long podcast for it. So Regulation 12 is recording and record keeping. So keep all records of the above reports. Keep them for 3 years at the place of work where the incident was, or the place of work of the person. So if the person wasn't injured at the place of work where they work, then keep it where they work. Or hopefully it was the same place, so just keep it there. Nice and simple. Regulation 14 defines, interestingly, the restrictions to RIDDOR, such as the operations of a registered medical doctors and dentists, road traffic accidents unless they involve loading, unloading of a vehicle, working alongside the road, e.g. construction, escape of substances being transported, and the armed forces. Pretty much, guys, the long and short of it is that is it. But once you work that out, you've got to report it. So how do you report it? Well, again, dead simple. Basically, it is kind of detailed in Schedule 1 of the regulation, but to be honest, yet again, the HSE produced a lovely simple guide on how to get it done. It is really simple, really clear. The forms are as follows. The injury form, not that you need to know this, but it is F2508IE, and dangerous occurrences F2508DOE. There are obviously different forms as well for the gas incidents and the offshore incidents as well. But yet again, you just go on www.hse.gov.uk/RIDOR, which is IDDOR, obviously. And that's pretty much the best way to do it. You can ring them up Monday to Friday, 8 till 5. There is out of hours, but if I'm honest, I've never called them up. I've always done it online. I think you would call them up if you had a fatality, obviously. But if I'm honest, the police would already be there anyway. I do cover it out of hours, but there's a little bit of jargon on there about the out of hours officer and only if it's high, real, like, fatality or stuff like that. So, honestly, guys, go on to the website. Read the guide. If you've had an incident that you think, shit, that was gnarly, then probably go onto their HSE website, put RIDOR into the search bar, read the guide, and just double check it. If you have something, a piece of machinery fails, breaks, rolls over, whatever, and you look at that and you think, shit, that could have really hurt if someone was in there, bloody hell, that was a big mess, something like, maybe we should check the HSE guide. If you're doing something, you think, bloody hell, I could have caught this, I could have caught that, I could have got asthma, I could have got dermatitis, I could have got asbestosis. Check the guide. Simple stuff. Real, real simple stuff. Final closing note on RIDOR then. When I asked a long time ago, and it's been reiterated to me in recent months when I was querying something, and I said, is this a RIDOR or not? And the answer I got was, can you go to jail for reporting too much? Question mark. No. Well, technically you can, because maybe if you're reporting loads and loads of riddles, you're not doing a very good job, and then you're probably in breach of health and safety at work act. Anyway, just based on this, can you go to jail for reporting too many riddle reports? No. Can you go to jail for not reporting? Yes. So if you're not sure, guys, just report it. Simple, simple stuff. So remember www.hse.gov.uk/RIDOR. Remember to hit us up on Twitter at RiskFluent if you know where regulation, what was it, the little caveat about self-employed guy, regulation 6. So self-employed guy suffers a fatality, fatal accident or fatal exposure on premises controlled by self-employed person. If that is based on a bit of case law or something like that, I would love to know, because I do not know that. So hit us up on Twitter. Make sure you check into the next podcast next week, where we'll be talking about noise at work with our first guest. We also have another guest in the diary as well, and we've got another potential guest that we're talking to this week, hopefully get a date in the diary. So all moving forward, looking good. I'll catch you next week. Thanks for listening, guys. Bye.